Hi, everyone. That may have been an excessive use of the gavel. I'm not going to promise that I will or will not use the gavel in the future to gavel us in, but that was a lot of fun. Folks online, can you hear us in the room?
Yes.
Yes. Thanks for that, Sean. Thanks for being with us, everyone, for our first Board of Governors meeting for the bar year. It's great to see you all. I think that we have quorum, is that right? Okay. I see that we have Judge Lee with us. Chief Judge Lee, good to see you. Thanks for being here. I think that we're going to hold off on our member introductions until we have Chief Judge Blackburn Rigsby join us so that she can be here for that as well. Erin, would you mind watching to let me know when she joins us?
Will do.
Okay, excellent. So should we jump to the president's report, or should we ask Chief Judge Lee to speak first?
Perhaps Chief Judge Lee.
Chief Judge Lee, would you like to go ahead and speak? We can skip to you on the agenda and be respectful of your time and make sure to hear from you.
Oh my God, I love it when I get priority, even if I don't deserve it.
Waived, please.
Well, good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for inviting us to attend today's meeting. I really just had a few remarks for you. Some of you I know and I've worked with in the past. Others, I'm actually looking forward to spending the year getting to know you and looking for things that we can work on where we have common ground. We really have a rich tradition and a very strong connection with the DC Bar. And obviously the Superior Court has been the direct beneficiary of that relationship most recently. That is something I hope we are able to expand and continue. Bob Spagnoletti and I go back much farther than either of us want to confess to, but he has been a great leader. It has been a good partnership. And just over the course of the last year, it's our ability to work together that gave us this new virtual 360 tool that we have available to all of our court users. And what I would say to the board members who are coming in and those who are veterans, as well as everyone else on the call, that is a groundbreaking and phenomenal tool. It allows our court users to experience court before they ever have to come down and actually experience court. And so for many of our pro se clients, it gives them a comfort level that we could not otherwise accomplish. Chief Judge Blackburn Rigsby is here, and you will hear from us in the coming months about what we've done along with the bar and many, many others in reference to our Civil Regulatory Reform Task Force and how we can better make a commitment to the people that we serve, particularly those who are unrepresented or underrepresented in many, many of the cases that come before our courts. We hope to be able to partner with you folks on those efforts as well. It is going to give us all an opportunity to better meet those that we serve and hopefully arrive at better outcomes as well. Every opportunity I think the chief and I get to speak, we just have to mention one of the things that we're all cognizant of, but we're all struggling with a little bit as well. And it is the unprecedented number of judicial vacancies in both courts and the impact it has on our ability to manage cases efficiently, meet the expectations, many of which we've created in the public, but to continue to meet those expectations with understaffed judiciary. The bar has really been excellent partners in helping us to raise the awareness of that, but also to help us marshal support for the efforts that we are all undertaking to address those vacancies. That is something that I hope we'll be able to continue to do into the future. And so it's really my pleasure to be here today. I look forward to working with all of you and continuing this very rich tradition that we have established over the year. So thank you all very much. I know the chief has joined us, so it's always kind of weird when the chief and I refer to each other as the chief, but that's just kind of the handles that we work with. And if you say chief, you'll probably get a response from both of us simultaneously. So welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. Best of luck to all of you. Expect that we're going to have a great year, and in large part, it's going to be because of the commitment that you've made to the bar.
Well, thank you so much, Chief Judge Lee, for joining us. I will endeavor to distinguish between which of the chiefs I'm speaking with. No promises, but what I hope that you're able to join us. What we have next on the agenda is to go around and introduce the board members. And if Chief Judge Blackburn Risby, if you have time to, we'd like to do that so you can hear the introductions of everyone as well, unless you are crunched for time, in which case we can move forward. But if your schedule allows for it, I'd like to introduce the board members first.
I'd just like to say hello first to everyone and thank Chief Judge Lee for his kind remarks. And I would welcome, I was going to ask if folks could introduce themselves. I'd love to hear your service, if you previously served on the board and what your practice areas are and whatever else you normally include in your introductions, your deepest, darkest secrets, feel free to share, anything like that.
Clinton, thank you. Well, let's start in the room here, and then we can go online, and we'll start Andre here. And please share obviously your name, how long you've been on the board, where you practice, and what your practice area is.
You're on mute, Ms. Margo Mangones.
Oh, okay. Am I?
All right, now I can hear you.
There we go. Hi, everyone, and thank you so much, Chief, for both chiefs for joining us. I'm Andrea Mangones. This is my beginning of my fifth year on the board. I was just reelected to a second term and served my first year as treasurer. So I think I'm now a veteran on the board, and I practice at Kids in Need of Defense, an immigration legal services organization. I'm also very active with the Washington Council of Lawyers, the Voluntary Bar Association for Pro Bono and Public Interest in DC.
Hello, I'm Rami Ravindran. I'm a partner at Bredhoff and Kaiser. I'm a litigator there, and I am starting my sixth and final year on the board.
Hello.
Good afternoon. My name is Bennett Rushkoff, and I was just elected to my first term on the board. And my service on the board coincides with my recent retirement from the DC Office of Administrative Hearings, where I was an administrative law judge specializing in public benefits cases since 2016. And prior to that, I served with the DC Office of the Attorney General for 17 and a half years. Not there, I was involved with affirmative litigation, including public protection cases in areas like consumer protection, antitrust, protecting nonprofits, and other matters. So I'm, excited to be here, and it's great to have the two chief judges here for my first meeting.
Good afternoon. I'm Deandra Roche. I'm an arbitrator. Thank you. Arbitrator, mediator, and adjunct professor. I have my own ADR practice where I specialize in labor, employment, and construction. And this is my very first meeting. So I am very happy to be here. And I look forward to working with everyone. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Josh Mogul. It's my second year on the board, and my first is treasurer. We all become lawyers because we don't want to do math, and now I'm stuck doing it. I practice at WilmerHale, and I'm just delighted to meet all the new people here today.
Hi, I'm Diane Seltzer. This is, I think, my 6th year on the board. I was secretary for a year. I was on the board for 4 years, and then this little presidential election thing came up, and here I am sitting next to our president. When I'm not doing bar-related things, because I am sort of a bar nerd, which I'm very proud of, I practice employment law. I have my own practice in Bethesda, and that's what I do the rest of my professional time. So thank you.
Briefly, Sedina Montani. This is actually, I'm starting my 2nd year on the board. Now I'm a veteran too, I suppose. I'm an employment law partner on the opposite side of many of my colleagues here. I work on the management side. I'm partner Crowell & Moring.
I think I know everybody on this call. I'm Bob Spagnoletti. I'm CEO of the bar and the Executive Vice President of the DC Bar Pro Bono Center. And this is my 144,000th board meeting.
But who's counting? Thanks to you. Good afternoon, chiefs, and welcome to our new board members. My name is Ida Mirza. I'm the general counsel at the bar, and I'm coming up on my 5th year here, and welcome.
Hi, everyone. I'm June Kress. I am not a lawyer, but I served for 6 years as one of the three non-lawyer members of the Bar Board of Governors. And I'm really sorry that that tenure has ended. I'm here today primarily to provide board training for all of you. When I'm not serving on a variety of other boards, I'm a certified executive coach and consultant to the nonprofit community.
Hello, everybody. My name is Karen Newton Cole, and I am the Executive Director of Neighborhood Legal Services Program. I have served on the board. I think this is my 4th year. I just won re-election to the board and very happy about that. And I also serve on the Access to Justice Commission and on the steering committee for the Consortium of Legal Services Providers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tony Coppolino. This is my first full year on the board. I took over a vacant slot last April, I think. I'm retired, but I spent 35 years with the Department of Justice Civil Division doing civil defense work representing federal agencies for a long time. But I have really enjoyed my experience so far on the board, and I'm really looking forward to this year.
Hi, everyone. My name is Patrick English. This is my 3rd year on the Board of Governors. I am a partner in the antitrust group that Latham & Watkins, specializing in the transactional side of the practice. And yeah, very much looking forward to working with you all in the year ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Natalie Koss. I'm the managing partner, Potomac Legal Group, an employee side employment law firm in DC and Maryland and Virginia. And my first job out of law school was a law clerk for Judge A. Franklin Burgess. So wonderful to see both of you again. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Belinda Edwards Taylor, or just Belinda Taylor, which I prefer. This is my 2nd year on the board, so I feel great that I am no longer a newbie. Which feels good. So, I'm a public interest attorney, and I just completed my time with legal counsel for the elderly. And who knows what's next? But apart from that, fun fact, I'm originally from Trinidad, and I just got back from vacation, so I feel very happy. It was wonderful in Playa del Carmen. And thank you, judges.
Hi everyone, my name's Layla Baum. I'm in my, like Linda, starting my 2nd year on the board. I'm very excited to continue working with everybody and our new members. My specialty area is securities law, and I'm currently with the federal government.
Hi, everyone in person and online. My name is Shirley Diaz. This is also my second year on the board. I guess we all wanted to sit together. I recently left Big Law to start my own practice. So I'm very excited about that. Thank you. Yeah. So I now have a firm called Diaz Vidales PLLC. I'm a CJA attorney for the appellate court. So I'm excited that we have the chief judges here. And I'm also doing estate planning. Also on the board of the Hispanic National Bar Association. So excited to, to be on both boards.
Excellent. Well,
one moment.
There we go.
We're good. Okay. Actually, I think we have four board members on the Zoom, so I will just go in alphabetical order. Professor Salzberg, would you like to start?
Sure. Hi, chiefs. My name is Steve Salzberg, and I send my greetings to all of you. I think I've been on the board now for 22 days, which means I'm as much of a novice as anybody. For some of you who know me, I've taught for many years at George Washington University Law School. Over the years, I spent most of my time in federal court, federal district court, and the court, U.S. Court of Appeals. I've been a mediator there for 35 years, and I just finished a jury trial in Superior Court last week. So I have a great interest in the court system in D.C., and I'm very interested in working with all of you to see what we can do to protect and preserve really an excellent judicial system in the district.
Thank you. Mark?
Yeah, hi, everyone. My name is Mark Salzberg. I am not related to Professor Salzberg. He was at UVA when I was a student there, and I note that he consistently spells his name incorrectly. I just concluded my term as treasurer, and this is my third year on the board. I'm a partner at Squire Patton Boggs. I'm a member of the Bankruptcy Restructuring Practice Group. I'm looking forward to actually being at the next meeting and meeting everyone who's new on the board.
Thank you, Mark. Sean?
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Snyder. I'm the CEO of the National Association of State Treasurers and now immediate past president. I apologize, I cannot be there in person. I'm with my members at a conference. So for any lawyers who don't like numbers, I'm sitting here in the middle of state treasurers and their staff talking about it all day for several days. But good to see everybody. And welcome to the new members.
Thanks, Sean. Courtney?
Hi, everyone. My name is Courtney Weiner. I am starting my seventh year on the board, seventh and final. I started as secretary, and I think that makes me the longest serving board member, at least currently. I am a solo practitioner. I focus on consumer law.
Thanks, Courtney. Is there anyone else on the Zoom, any other board members who I've missed?
Mine was on. He wasn't.
Luke Bon, are you with us?
I am. And since there was apologies for not being on camera, I am currently on parental leave with my second child, Malik. My name is Juan Aziz. I am a partner at Wiley Ryan. I am a Supreme Court and appellate litigator. I also do some commercial litigation. Welcome to the new members. This is my second year being on the board.
Blunt. Thank you so much. I think those are all the introductions. So I will briefly introduce and hand the microphone over to Chief Judge Anna Blackburn Rigsby, who is Chief Judge of the DC Court of Appeals. Did anyone get that joke? No, what do you mean?
I got that
referencing the swearing in. Thank you.
I got that, Sadita.
Okay, good. As long as the two of us got that joke. Welcome. Happy to hear from you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. And I really appreciate you all taking the time to go around and introduce yourselves, because it just further underscores how dynamic and phenomenal our DC bar is, based on a board of governors that has such a range of practice years, a range of practice areas, and a shared and deep commitment to the work of the DC Bar and the broader work of improving and sustaining and maintaining and protecting the rule of law. So I am excited to see and meet some of the new members, and so excited that our returning and veteran members are still excited about the work and the mission of the bar. And it just underscores that we're in good hands. And Sadini, congratulations. And your swearing in was wonderful. And the pro bono reception every year, you all go higher and higher in hitting the mark to raise the money to support the important work of the pro bono center. So kudos to you, Sadini. Sean, thank you for a phenomenal bar year. And I know you'll continue on the board another year as immediate past president. And also to our president-elect, Diane Seltzer, welcome and congratulations to you. And another shout out to Chief Judge Lee. We have to work very closely together in leading our DC courts and leading our courts through challenging times. I hate to use the word unprecedented because in the 8.5 years since I've been chief, it feels like everything's been unprecedented. We had in 2018 what at the time we thought were unprecedented government cuts and a 6-week government shutdown that I think many people didn't realize affected all court employees and staff. Then we had the COVID pandemic and tragic global pandemic that forced us to innovate and dig deep and realize how much we could change and innovate and grow. And we've had many innovations. I echo what Chief Judge Lee said about the phenomenal partnership between the Pro Bono Center and the Superior Court to launch the Utopian 360 virtual tour of the Superior Court. And we were so excited that we are going to do the same thing at the Court of Appeals with the support of a grant that we were able to secure from the State Justice Institute. So I am excited that we've begun work on implementing that because I think the courts are still a mystery for a lot of folks, what to expect. It's intimidating, it's overwhelming. But sometimes I think when you talk about the appellate court, it's even more mysterious. And what we hope this Utopian project will do is help make it more accessible and understandable to all court users and to our community. So stay tuned. I can't wait to see what my avatar looks like when we get finished. I just wanted to very briefly share a few other updates, some that you may be aware of already. The court vacancies, that's not an update. That is a continued mantra. We still have two vacancies on the Court of Appeals. We're supposed to be 9 active judges at full authorization. And we've had two vacancies for the better part of almost 11, 12 years. And while two doesn't sound like a big number, it is 22% of our judicial workforce. And it means it creates a drag, a slowdown on everything that we do. We used to have, when I joined the Court of Appeals, 13 senior judges to assist the 9 active judges. Now we have 5 senior judges to assist the 7 active judges. And one of them is our most dedicated Judge John Steadman, who is nearly 95 years old and still working and contributing. And so, and I'm sure you've heard from Chief Judge Lee about the impact of the vacancies and the extremely high calendar caseloads that judges on Superior Court are handling. So there are a lot of things that are being done in this regard, and I want to give another shout out to Bob and your phenomenal DC Bar staff and the pro bono staff at the DC Bar. The Access to Justice Commission, the Consortium on Legal Service Providers, and all of our private practitioners. We had the highest numbers on our pro bono honor roll for the DC courts this year, at a time when I know so many of our attorneys are struggling with federal government layoffs and other challenges in the profession. So I just have to say thank you to all of you for all that you continue to do. We're excited that any day now we will be releasing the report and recommendation from the Regulatory Reform Task Force, which is chaired, co-chaired by Chief Judge, by Judge Roy McLeese of the Court of Appeals and by Judge, oh gosh.
Deserving.
How could I forget Judge Irving, who just took senior status, but who's stayed on as co-chair? And so they have worked hard. This task force has had tremendous community support and outreach, tremendous input from the bar and so many other stakeholders. And so when we release it, I think it's due out on or before July 31st. We really encourage you to reach out to all your networks to give us feedback. The purpose, the name is odd, but the purpose and point of the task force is to study some of the recommendations that came out of initially out of a bar committee. And then the task force has brought in more voices and even looked at exploring things like community justice workers, other types of professionals who can augment and assist the many, many and growing number of litigants who on the civil side who need but can't afford counsel. So stay tuned and please tune in and give your feedback because once we get the public comments, the courts will then have to make a final determination about what we do going forward. I also wanted to mention, many of you know I shared last year, I completed my term as president of the Conference of Chief Justices. The chiefs of the highest courts in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and all of the US territories. And in my tenure as chief, one of the, again, unprecedented issues that confronted us was what impact will generative AI have on courts, on judges, on court systems, and on the practice of law. And I led several national task forces on that issue. And that prompted me to encourage our Joint Committee on Judicial Administration, which oversees both of our local courts, which I chair and which Chief Judge Lee serves on, to stand up our own DC Courts AI task force, which has been up and running about a year. Has been doing some phenomenal work, making sure that our judges know and understand and are learning about and being kept up to date on developments in AI, which we're already seeing to some degree in some of our court matters, but also making sure that we have a use policy that both allows us to innovate, but also provides the important guardrails that are needed when you have a large system like the courts. That is the repository of so much important and confidential information by so many parties. So we're excited. We are not running from AI, but we want to be responsible in how the courts use it and deploy it. We're already using it in some of the behind-the-scenes court operations, our accounting, our chatbots, if you've ever gone online and engaged a chatbot for some information. So we see tremendous potential. But we are approaching it thoughtfully and carefully and ethically to understand some of the ethical constraints. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, you've heard me mention this before, and you may know as much, if not more, about it than we do, but the next gen bar exam is coming soon, as they say. This is a complete revamp and change of the bar exam as we know it. The first administration of this next gen bar exam will be next July by other jurisdictions. Our DC Committee on Admissions has decided that we won't administer the next gen bar exam until February of 2028. So that gives us an opportunity to prepare, to learn, to study. But we are also aware that in 2026, when folks start taking the next gen bar, we do want to make it possible for there to be continued reciprocity and portability of scores. And so we are studying how the scoring on the new next gen bar compares with the scoring on the current bar, or the legacy bar, as it will become known. So stay tuned for that. Many we will be coordinating with the law schools so that they know and can prepare their law students for the new advent of the next gen bar administration in DC. I think those are all the updates. Just continue to be as supportive as you have been. The collaboration between the bar and the courts is so critically important, particularly now. I am so proud of the programs of the bar to support many attorneys who in the federal government have been displaced or in the private sector have been displaced. We need your talent and your time and your skills. And so helping you pivot and helping our members pivot to serve the best way they can is so critical during these times. So, Sadina, again, congratulations on your leadership. We, as somebody mentioned that they were doing pro bono appeals. As much as we need you on the trial side, we also need, I think it's surprising to most people to know how many people are struggling to handle their appeals without legal counsel. And so we have opened our doors and welcome lawyers who are interested in doing pro bono appeals, particularly on the civil side. So keep that in mind. Our caseload at the Court of Appeals since 2020 in the last 5 years has risen over 56%. And if it's risen by that much for us at the Court of Appeals, you know that it's that much and more at the trial court level. So it's while it's not about us, the judges, it's about the public that we serve. We can serve the public better if the judges aren't exhausted and completely worn out. And that's where you come in with your pro bono efforts. It really matters in terms of how the cases come before us. So thank you all for continuing to show up and to be the best bar in the country. We have members in all 50 states and DC, as I like to say, and all around the world in over 80 countries. And that is phenomenal. You all represent and make us proud. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So I guess, are you ready for me to swear in the Board of Governors?
We are ready.
Now, I'm going to start by saying that there is a sort of running joke about me and the oaths as they've been administered over the years. But let me just say that I have streamlined the oath a little bit. I can't help as an appellate judge to edit everything I see. So I hope you all will bear with me. Are you all ready to take the oath as members of the Board of Governors?
We are.
Okay. So I'm going to ask that you please raise your right hands and repeat after me. On mute, I guess. I state your names.
I
Do solemnly promise and affirm
that
that I will faithfully and impartially execute the duties and responsibilities of an elected official of the District of Columbia Bar. I promise to perform my duties
I promise to perform my duties
to the best of my ability
to the best of my ability
in conformity with the rules of the District of Columbia Court of Appeals.
In conformity with the rules of the
And the bylaws of the District of Columbia Bar.
And the bylaws of the District of Columbia Bar.
And this I promise.
And this I promise.
Thank you. And I've spared you the last three paragraphs of the oath, but I'm confident that you will go forth and carry out your duties in a way that will continue to make us so proud of the DC Bar Board of Governors and the work that you do. So thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations, everyone.
Well, thank you so much, both Chief Chief Lee for being with us, and Chief Blackburn Rigsby for being with us, for your close partnership that we have with the courts, for your leadership, and for your willingness to share so much of your time with us today. We really appreciate it. And it's just a really special way to start the bar year by having both of you here with us today. So thank you so much.
All righty. Good luck. And Dina, we'll be in touch. Thank you all. Take care.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Excellent. So with that, I will move to the president's report and just touch on a few issues. Seeing as though it's only day 22, there shouldn't be that much to report on, but there is some to report on. I wanted to spend just a brief moment touching again on what I envision being my focus and initiatives this year, even as, of course, we're being mindful that we can plan, but things will come at us unexpectedly. And for those of you who were at the Celebration of Leadership, this may be familiar. I will be as brief as possible. I'm really hoping to spend some time this year talking with lots of different stakeholders within the bar, within the legal community, at different levels of experience, and bringing folks together to talk about how we can really modernize what the apprenticeship model looks like for the practice of law. I don't think we've had enough conversations about post-pandemic practice and the ways that it's changed how we interact with one another, how we train folks, and thinking about where we are in this moment with technology. Of course, we heard from the chief that the courts are not bearing their head. I don't think that the legal professions should be either. And so talking about how we bring those things together is really important. I also want to focus on lifting up and supporting the voluntary bars, not just because I grew up in a voluntary bar, but I did grow up in a voluntary bar. I think that they're wonderful organizations, and it's really a way for us to do the work that we have talked about so much doing as a bar, supporting folks in our community who are potentially like me, first-gen college students, who are members of affinity bars, who are practicing in spaces where they have been traditionally underrepresented. I think that's supporting the voluntary bars is a really important way we can do the work. One initiative we've been talking about is hosting a kind of mini BLI for the local voluntary bars. The BLI, for those who don't know, is a program that's put on by the ABA every spring to support incoming the presidents-elect as they're starting to get near their bar term. So it is the moment I can tell you when it starts to seem pretty real. Mm-hmm. Bob has a whole script. It's a whole thing, but it's a really wonderful program. And I think that's one way that we could potentially really help to support our community. I just wanted to share a couple words of advice that I have gotten coming into this year that you will probably hear me. I'm a big fan of catchphrases, say over and over again. One or more of these may already be in notes for my caricature. I don't know that for sure, but I have suspicions. No unforced errors. We can react. Or we don't need to be react, but we can respond, being thoughtful about the difference between those two things. And then you don't have to show up to every fight you're invited to. So those are some of the three best words or tips of advice that I've gotten as I've been stepping into the role. A little bit about Celebration of Leadership for those who weren't there. The chief judge maybe embarrassed me in front of 350 people during the oath. It was very funny. And at least the iPhone footage of it is pretty hysterical. But in all seriousness, it was a really wonderful event. The president's reception raised, as of yesterday, $1.023 million. No, it was above our budget. It was below our goal. Unfortunately, this was a really challenging fundraising year across the board. We had a number of stalwart firms who declined to contribute this year, and that impacted to the tune of about $100,000. So all things considered, that we cleared budgets, we will take that as a victory, and certainly important for doing the work. I'll dovetail that into some better news on the financial front, which is to update you all on the Access to Justice Initiative funding. Hopefully you have heard, and Gabby can answer any specific questions that I cannot. But in somewhat surprising news, I think we were all kind of hoping for the best, but really planning for not so great news. The council did vote to fully restore funding for the Access to Justice Initiative to $31.7 million, which is excellent news. Really amazing. We are waiting on the second vote. There are two additional votes that are happening, one on the Local Budget Act that's on July 28th, a second vote on the Budget Support Act, which is July 31st. Really, really exciting and wonderful news, though, and great for not just obviously the Pro Bono Center, but the whole legal services community, and is going to be hugely impactful. We sent a letter, Sean, Diane, Charles, and me, as we've been communicating with the council, to really thank them for their leadership here, and are using this as an opportunity to make sure we are continuing to have a more open and more constant dialogue with the council on a going forward basis, so we can hopefully make sure that these funds are as recurring as we possibly can have them. I will share my appreciation for those of you who have signed up to have one-on-one meetings. My calendar is a mess, but I am excited to be able to have sessions with all of you. And I think 15 or 16 folks have signed up. So that's a really great showing. If you've not yet, please, please do sign up so we can have some time together. In a couple of weeks, we'll be in Toronto, where Bob, as you know, will be receiving a NABBE award, which is going to be very exciting. Any time to get a little bit of embarrassment or blush. I want to flag that there are advice and referral clinics coming up. One is this Saturday. It is here at the bar. There's another on September 20th. That one is at Thurgood Marshall. There's one on October 18th that is back here at the bar. I am going to be at one or both of the September and October, and will encourage as many of you to come as possible. That would be fantastic. I want to close my president's report with a little good for the order. I'm sure I can find something every time we meet. And without being upset that she stole my thunder, I wanted to congratulate Shirley on the launch of her new firm as just a little bit of the work. So, yeah. With that,
I think Karen raised her.
Oh, Karen, did you raise your hand, or was that when you were taking the oath?
I think it was the oath.
Right. Got it.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, we'll move to the consent agenda.
Absolutely.
The consent agenda consists of the secretary's report, of draft minutes of the annual business meeting, which was the celebration of leadership, the Board of Governor committee appointments, which are in your pre-reads as well, and the appointment of our DC Bar secretary for the year, Judge Washkoff. Oh, did I miss something?
Also the minutes of the June 17th meeting.
Oh, sorry. Yes. The minutes of the June 17th meeting as well. Is anyone interested in making a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Second. Excellent. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Okay.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. And now, Bob, we will go to you for the CEO report.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody, particularly our new members. Just a reminder that in your board materials, you're going to find a CEO report, which contains a summary of the many programs, activities, services, and opportunities that are offered by the bar and the Pro Bono Center. And it's a great way to see how the bar is equipping its members to practice with excellence. It also gives you information about things that are going on in the building that may not be directly related to the DC Bar, but shows how the building is being used to support DC Bar members. In addition to the CEO report, you'll be receiving a bi-weekly newsletter called The Ambassador. I think you've already received one copy of it. And that's really to help you serve as ambassadors to the DC Bar and the Pro Bono Center. It contains information about what's coming up, events, services, programs, and the rest. And we really encourage you to share it with your networks. We'll send it to you in a form where you can simply push it out either by email or social media so that other DC Bar members can learn about what's going on here at the bar. Speaking of networks, one of your important responsibilities as board members is to help recruit qualified candidates for the vacancies that we have on committees and commissions and other spots in the bar. And this coming year, we have two very important vacancies that the board is going to have to fill. One is on the Judicial Nominations Commission, and one is on the Commission on Judicial Disabilities and Tenure. We have a vacancy in each. It's unusual that the timing works out that we have two vacancies on these important commissions in the same year, but we do, and they need to be filled by the beginning of January. So this starting now, we are actively recruiting folks for those positions. Now, an incumbent on the JNC may very well resubmit a self-nomination for that position. But it really is incumbent on everybody to find qualified candidates who are willing to commit to a six-year appointment for each of them. They have to live in the District of Columbia. And critically, they have to have knowledge of our local court system, because both positions are instrumental, one in filling vacancies and one in dealing with the judges once they're already on board. All right, Shirley? You could do it right online, right through the website. There's a form that you can fill out, and it'll come. Yes, and it'll come right to us. Okay, so one of the programs that was highlighted in your materials, I'd like to give a shout out to, which was the Federal Attorney Career Summit that we had as a full day summit on June 23rd. We held it in response to the challenges that are being experienced by many of our federal government members and lawyers here in town. It's featured sessions on effective resumes, leadership during difficult times, wellness, ethical considerations for those who are leaving government and going into private practice, and a bunch of other topics. There were 219 total registrants, and 134 appeared in person, and the rest will be getting it on demand online. It's a really good example of how the bar tries to respond to its members' needs. So as you see things out and among the members where you think where the bar can be helpful, please pass that information along to us. And along those lines, in your role as members of the board, you are going to be contacted by lots of people who say, well, the bar should have a program on this, or a program on this, or a program on this, or co-sponsor this, or co-sponsor that. And of course, our part of our mission is to support the voluntary bars and other legal organizations. So we're always happy to consider that. There are many factors that go into this, whether it's the bar that should do this, or a community that should do it, or the pro bono center that should do it. Is there money involved? Is this a conflict with something else that we're already doing? Should it be built into something else we're already doing? What I would suggest is that when organizations come to you with ideas about programming or co-sponsoring, refer them to me and to Darren, and we'll help sort out what the best way for the bar to be part of that is. We co-sponsor tons of programming, and a lot of other organizations co-sponsor with things that we're putting on. So we're always happy to consider it. We just want to make sure it aligns in exactly the right way. Laptop is misbehaving, of course. Just a couple of other things before I pass you along. As I think all of you know now, because we talked, even for the new folks, we talked about it in the orientation, there was a significant change in the rules governing the DC bar. It's a short change, only two sentences long, but it's critically important to us. And that affects how we are able to use our license fees. This rule change, which takes effect on August 8th, replaces a patchwork of referenda rules, DC court opinions, and others that and the constitutional standard that governs how we can use them. And now it purely aligns our use of license fees with the constitutional standard. It takes effect August 8th. We are working internally to put together what that looks like from an accounting perspective and how it's going to affect the potential business units of the bar. We're not going to be seeking any kind of change to this year's budget, the FY26 budget, but you can look for the changes as we build the FY27 budget. And for those of you who've been around for a little while, you know that that happens right after Labor Day, that we begin that process. So we'll be back to you with more information about how that rule change will play out in the coming months. And then finally, and certainly not unimportantly, following this meeting, there is an ice cream social being hosted by JLL, our property management company, up on the roof, and you're all invited.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, not about the ice cream. What flavors? Should I not have a dessert here? The Federal Attorney Career Summit, was there a charge to register?
No.
I didn't think so. And I thought that was, I kept looking. I think that was particularly amazing of the bar. And I'm not trying to I didn't ask a question that I already knew the answer to. I just didn't see anywhere to pay. And I didn't want to go through the whole registration because it didn't.
Yeah, it was totally free.
That was really incredible.
And I don't know what the total what the actual breakdown was about DC bar members versus non, but a huge chunk of federal government lawyers are not members of the DC bar practice here. because they can practice as long as they're admitted in some state. And so when they lost their jobs or their jobs have been threatened, obviously they're panicked because they don't have a license. They may not have a license to practice in DC, but yet here they are suddenly without a job. So the Federal Attorney Summit was made available free of charge to members and non-members for that very reason.
And if I could just add, special shout out to Dennis Cuevas and his team, because we did not charge anything, it would not have been something that, you know, CLE could have made any money on. And so thanks to our CEO for letting us use non-CLE funds for a program that we would have made no money on anyway, but vitally important to all the folks that attended. So,
does anyone else have any questions? Layla?
Yeah, I have two questions. Bob, for the rule change that you talked about taking effect in August, I understand it's going to have effects on, like, in terms of accounting. Are there any substantive effects that you foresee?
Well, so we haven't quite figured out what we're going to do during this current fiscal year. We're certainly going to do any major changes because we want to sort of figure out what it's going to look like. As you know, it's largely for accounting purposes and how we assign where license fees go. We're doing very well with license renewal this year. We're right on track to where we expected to be, which is fantastic. But I don't think there's going to be anything big substantively changed in FY26. And we'll have to see how the budget plays out in FY27. There's a potential for more flexibility to support CLE for sure, which is clearly a germane function. Some access to justice. I think the pro bono center will probably benefit from this in FY27 as well. Communities will be a little bit tougher because we have a First Amendment issue with, we don't want to constrain their ability to make public statements by funding it entirely with license fees. But what I will say is that we will not be changing the revenue stream. That is, we'll still have some charge for CLE programming, some charge for communities memberships. It's just how we use the license fees to support that, to make sure that the money is being used in a way that's constitutionally aligned.
Okay, thank you. And then my other question is, in the materials, there was a mention of a DC Bar brand microsite. Can you describe a little bit to us what that is and what's happening with the brand?
So yes, Meredith, are you still on?
Yes, I am here.
Do you want to address that? Since it's your beautiful project.
Yeah, sure. So over the course of the last year, we updated some of the visual representation and the way that we message for bar programs, services, and initiatives. And so the microsite is just a representation of all of the work that was done there. I believe the CEO report included a link to that microsite, so you can go and see what's available there and how the messaging is being framed. You can see the new tagline. We did not update our logo, but we did create a logo version that has the tagline attached to it. So that's just an example of some of the graphic representation that you can access. Everything is downloadable. There are PowerPoint slides, Zoom backgrounds. It's mostly an internal reference for the marketing and communications team, but it also was made available to all staff so that they can reference what they need to, and also see all the culmination of all the work that was done by the staff and the agency that we worked with.
So it's an internal website, completely internal?
It's meant for internal purposes, yes. Is that helpful?
It was helpful. Thank you, Meredith.
Thanks, Meredith.
Thanks.
Does anyone else have any questions for Bob about the president's report? Okay. So next on our agenda is an action item to regarding a vacancy on the Board of Governors. This is for one of our seats held by non-lawyer members. We had a resignation towards the end of Sean's bar year last year that we needed to fill. So this appointment is to finish that term that was vacated, and whomever fills the seat can then be reappointed. We had three applicants for that position, two of whom we conducted interviews with, and one of whom is in a memo that's in your materials that we have recommended to fill that seat, Dr. Dong. We had some great applicants. I think that Dr. Dong is going to be a great addition. He has lots of experience serving on non-board committees for the bar and is known to the staff, and we had a great discussion with him. So that is the recommendation that is in the materials, and happy to answer questions or to entertain a motion.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you just describe how the candidates were recruited and who the other two candidates were and why one wasn't interviewed?
So the bar solicited publicly for candidates. It was on the website. It was in a lot of our materials. We also reached out to the staff because a number of committees that we work with have non-lawyer members, and that some of our best non-lawyer board members have come from the committees themselves. So we solicited them, and that's in fact how Dr. Dong came to us, recommended, having served on several committees in the regulation council space, ethics, and attorney-client arbitration board. So we had two other candidates, one who was recommended by past president, Ellen Jakovic, who works, I think, with her husband. We interviewed him and we interviewed Dr. Dong. The third candidate was not local, had no connection to the DC bar, and there didn't seem to be any connection to that candidate. So we thought we would interview the two folks who did have a connection with the DC bar in some way, found both, I can't remember John's last. What's John's
Glass.
Last?
Glass.
John Glass, thank you. John and Dr. Dong to be really very compelling, very interested, had very thoughtful, had done their homework, very committed to what the bar stood for. However, I think that in the end, the group, myself, Sedina, Chad, and Sean, who are part of the group, according to the bylaws, who does this recommendation process, felt that Dr. Don's long experience with the bar specifically merited his appointment. In addition to which, he had more board service on other boards than John did. He had been the chair of several boards and on other boards, and we thought that that combination of DC bar knowledge and experience and board service made him well suited for the bar.
We'll certainly be finding other ways to get John Glass
involved.
Very much so.
So I'll make a motion that we appoint Dr. Dong to the board.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries.
Right, and we'll notify Dr. Dong of his appointment, and then hopefully we'll see him in the September meetings.
Excellent. With that, I think we will move into executive session.
Several of the staff
will have
stepped up, but the senior staff is there.
Okay.
Memorize what she's doing.
It's in time.
Actually, this is not going to help me, but I'll find another blood.
Thank you for being with us online while we are getting resituated and getting Bob's laptop powered up. And getting sugar.
Remember, there's ice cream.
And there's ice cream. Yeah. Encouragement to those who are unable to join us in person that you never know when you might miss ice cream. So important to endeavor to be.